fasten your seatbelt, and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
I can't read. I don't learn how to write. My whole life has been one big fight. Born on the bad side. I've been down since I began to call. If it wasn't for bad luck, I've been down no luck at all.
Welcome to Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg, and as we listen to the words of Albert King, for those who can't read and never learned how to write, they were indeed born under a bad sign. Today on Route 51, we revisit the topic of illiteracy as we look at a problem that affects our unemployment rate, our prospects for an economic recovery, and which impacts us in ways that some of us would not imagine. From the upcoming census and our ability to make our voices heard in Washington to the availability and administration of our health care. Joining us today, Sarah Halstead and Tom Parker, the executive director and former executive director of the Portage County Literacy Council. That organization is gearing up for its fifth annual Unscrabble fundraiser, April 2nd at the Holiday Inn in Stevens Point. And we will be spending the next hour with them talking about the often hidden problem of illiteracy. Those it affects, those who bear the cost, and those who are searching and working towards solutions. As always, we want to hear from you. If you have questions or comments, please give us a call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or toll free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Sarah and Tom, thanks so much for being with us today. Welcome to Route 51.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Talk about the Unscrabble fundraiser. This is what, your fifth annual?
Yep.
Yes, it's a great event. It's one of those things in the community that can bring in people of all different skill levels, different age levels, for an evening of fun, and it all goes to support a really good cause with the Literacy Council. But I've heard it sort of described as kind of like going bowling. You can be really good and be shooting for that 300 game, or maybe you're just happy that you didn't have all gutter balls, but you can have a good time either way. So all different skill levels can come and play.
And you're still looking for volunteers, people who like to play Scrabble, who
yeah.
might want to play for a good cause?
You bet. We've still got room for some more teams, and people can go to our website, the www.pocolit.org.
Pocolit.
Yep, pocolit.org. And they can register actually online and get their team signed up. So we still have some room for teams, and people are welcome to come and do that. Teams of four compete in a game that's very much like the traditional Scrabble game, but we get to combine all the letters for all four players and see how many words they can come up
oh, cool.
and a great number of points, and it's quite festive. You can buy extra letters if you want to, you know, have a few more to work with. After all, it is a fundraiser.
And that is April 2nd. That's next Thursday, a week from today, at the Holiday Inn in Stevens Point.
That's right.
And I imagine you've got things for people to do if they aren't actually on the teams competing?
Oh, sure. We can have some people help with some volunteering, but you know, the big focus really is come, have fun, help us support our cause. We have people that help by pledging for other team members that are playing, and we have people that are there as volunteers for the evening. Just give us a call or give us an email through our website. We'll be glad to find a way that you can fit in.
The money that's raised, what does it go for? What does the Portage County Literacy Council do?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been around since 1987 dealing with adult literacy issues. It was started by Dan Dietrich, University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point faculty member. Mostly to address issues that were brought to him by people who had not thrived in K-12 education. So they were native-born folks who were struggling in their jobs or struggling reading to their kids, and they wanted some help. We quickly got into English as a second language, probably in the early 1987, early 90s. We were starting to deal with Hmong immigrants. And since then, we've been doing that for a long time, and now our major population of people learning English for the first time are Hmong and Hispanic.
Got a big Hispanic population in Portage County.
We do.
And it's a hidden population.
Yeah, well, we have a program down in Bancroft at the Potato Exchange, Waisakis, where we have 45, I think, students learning English on their lunch hour. and that's supported by the company. They get paid during that lunch hour. They get lunch catered in. And they also, I think we have a dozen administrators who are learning Spanish through us.
Mm-hmm. So the money you raise goes toward what specifically?
Toward teaching the classes, training tutors. We have a very active tutor program where folks work one-on-one with individuals. I think we have about 80 volunteers doing that right now. And then we have classes, and the classes that we pay the teachers as well as the Mid-State pays their teachers.
And again, if you want to get involved with this organization or participate in the Unscrabble fundraiser, it's next Thursday, April 2nd, the Holiday Inn in Stevens Point. The website is pocolit.org, P-O-C-O-L-I-T, or you can call the Portage County Literacy Council at 345-5341. That's 345-5341. Sarah, how big of a problem is this?
I think it's a pretty significant issue, and it's one of those that people don't often think about. I know you've used the term illiteracy as you've been talking about this program, and I tend to think about literacy being something that's, you know, kind of a spectrum, where it's not just that you're illiterate or literate, but it's where do you fit in on that spectrum? And it's the kind of thing that affects all of us in many different ways. You may feel like you can read and write, and that's good enough, but is it good enough for everything? There are people that can, you know, speak just a little bit of English and they can get by at something, but they might not be able to get the kind of job that another person can if they're able to speak better. So we have people that would like to, you know, get a better job, would like to get a job, period, and see that their literacy skills are sort of standing in the way. And by hooking them up with a tutor and helping them learn a little bit more, we're seeing people move into employment. And so that's a real positive thing. But we also see a lot of people that might struggle in one area or another. You might be very proficient in being able to speak English, but mm-hmm. your writing skills might not be so good, or you might not be able to read, and you don't see that on a person's face.
Well, I can tell you, as somebody who's worked in the broadcasting business for 35 years, and has been in management during some of those years, I would be shocked at people who would be applying for positions as journalists, as reporters, as anchor people. You'd look at the errors on their resume, the mm-hmm. punctuation, the spelling errors, the syntactical errors, and it's shocking. And those are the people that you would expect would be the most proficient readers and writers, the people who have broadcast journalism degrees.
Yeah, well, it turns out that the average reading level in the country is about eighth grade. And so you can get a lot of information with an eighth grade reading level. You can read the paper, you can do job applications, you can do a lot of things, instructions, read danger messages and stuff. But when you have to fill out or read a consent form at the hospital, it'll give you pause, or when you look at your insurance form from your car insurance or your house insurance, the language gets pretty iffy, and the lower your literacy level, the more difficulty you're going to have in mm-hmm. those relatively common situations. Your lease, for example, looking at legal documents.
And we tend to look at things in this democracy of ours where you've got this crossfire mentality, pro and con. Everything is in black and white terms. No appreciation for the fact that there's a lot of gray areas in everything, and literacy is part of that. It's not a black and white on and off thing where either you know how to read and write or you don't. There are people who can do that better than others.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the examples I think of this time of the year is people are getting ready to prepare their taxes if they haven't already. You know, and some of us might go to a professional to get some extra help for that, because maybe we feel that if I read through those long instructions that the government gives me on how to fill out this form, I might not understand it, or maybe I don't know how to calculate this the right way. But I can go to a professional and get some help, and there's no shame in that. I think when it comes to other areas of our life, people sometimes feel a little bit embarrassed, and they don't seek that kind of help. But we're working to try to help people feel more comfortable with reaching out and asking for some help.
Sarah Halstead and Tom Parker of the Portage County Literacy Council. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We are taking your phone calls and comments at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. We'll be back with your phone calls right after this. We'll be right back.
On a day like today, we pass the time away, writing love letters in the sand.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
Your business can reach an audience like no other in Wisconsin by supporting programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. For more information about business sponsorships, call Rick Ryer at 1-800-749-3906.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. Our subject today, the war against illiteracy, or for literacy, I guess, as our guests would prefer me to phrase it. Sarah Halstead and Tom Parker of the Portage County Literacy Council. We're taking your calls at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. Let's go to the phones right now. We have Dan in Stevens Point. Dan, you're on Route 51.
Hey, Glenn. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Sarah and Tom. Just curious, you know, we always hear that this is sort of a societal problem and that one that carries over to all of us. And I'm wondering, for those of us that are literate or at least consider ourselves literate, you know, how does this affect everyone, especially in these economic times? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks a lot.
All right, Dan, thanks so much for your phone call. Sarah, Tom?
Excellent question. Go ahead.
Over the last couple of years, we've decided that we are a literacy program, but in general, we are a job development program, an employee development program. We can make employees better employees. We can make unemployed people employable. And I think that's a start. I mean, if we move people from public assistance to self-sufficiency, we've made a huge impact on the community itself, certainly that person's family. But that takes one person off the rolls and puts them in a tax-paying situation, which helps us all. That's one area. Sarah can talk to what the impact is on healthcare.
Yeah. Just one more comment on that. I think that, you know, people might say, well, why does this matter to me? If you're a taxpayer, it should matter to you. Some of your dollars are going to support people that aren't able to read. And if we can actually help that and get them into jobs where they're able to start contributing to that, we all win. You know, so I totally agree with you, Tom.
If you have trouble following simple written instructions or
filling out an application.
Right. Or problems reading English. You're right. You probably are unemployed.
Right.
Or minimum wage, and that doesn't support a family of three or four. You know, so.
And going into the piece about health care and the cost that we have there, the problem of literacy and specifically health literacy really does affect us all because we're spending an awful lot of money in our country every year on this particular issue. There's a lot of problems that people run into when there's that discrepancy between their reading level and what's being presented to them. You might take a look at a prescription bottle and kind of understand what it is, so you go with what you think works. You know, I heard one person who read their prescription bottle say, well, yeah, I'm supposed to take this a couple times a day, twice a day, but it doesn't say when. I don't know when I'm supposed to take this, so I just take it all at once, and then I know I've done it, because I don't know what time I'm supposed to do this. So the person's really not understanding what they're reading, and it can cause problems that might send them back to the doctor, because they're not necessarily, mm-hmm. you know, following the doctor's orders, so to speak. Or they may end up, you might have people that are coming into the healthcare system because I'm very intimidated by filling out a form when I can't understand how to read it, but I know that if I go to the emergency room, no one's going to give me a form. They're going to help me right away without having me have to read something and write down something. So they might be going into a more expensive kind of healthcare setting, which is going to cost us more than actually having them go to a more cost-efficient, doctor's appointment.
261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. We have Charles in Stevens Point to is speaking of concerns to the Hispanic community. Is this Charlie Fernandez?
See?
Hey, Charlie, how are you doing? Charles Fernandez, for those who don't live in central Wisconsin or the Stevens Point area, is somebody who has really made a mark and helped a lot of people in the Hispanic community progress throughout the years. And Charles, it's an honor for you to call our show this afternoon.
Buenas tardes. Es con mucho gusto que les hablo, ¿verdad? Quiero tener un poco de esperanza, a ver si pueden ayudarme un poco. Quiero saber hablar de las personas que no pueden hablar inglés. Did you all understand what I said?
I didn't
understand. No, I have a Spanish literacy problem.
I understand maybe half of it, but not all of it.
What I was saying, of course, in order to show, you know, how unfortunate and how helpless people feel when they hear a language and they can't understand it. Well, in the Hispanic community, we have many people coming here who are not able to understand what is being said about them, and so they become very reluctant to participate in many activities, and therefore it's just because they don't understand what is being said.
Well, there can be.
I think communication is very, very important.
Charlie, there can be, you know, kind of a frightening aspect of that too. You know, if you don't understand what somebody is saying about you or in your presence, it could be threatening. You just don't know.
Well, it is true, and you know, and unfortunately, as I overheard some saying, they're reluctant to help themselves and to help others, and it becomes a burden on the community. You know, and when we can have people who are willing to help and to participate in the workforce, if that be necessary, to not be able to do anything but menial tasks because lack of the ability to speak in the local language. Some of these people are very talented that come here from other countries, and I specifically will speak about the Hispanic population. We have quite a large population in central Wisconsin, of course. And I'd just like to speak briefly to how handicapped they become. To begin with, there are two types of people in our community who would benefit from being able to utilize the Literate Council here. There are those who have been here for quite a while, and although they have stumbled through it for quite a while, they now have children here who are attending our schools, and they're using them as interpreter, and they're getting by. Not the best, but they're getting by. And then there are those that are recently here, the people, unfortunately, or fortunately, whatever it is, that they're here maybe not fully documented, in other words, illegal. And these are people who cannot speak English. Also, they are the ones who are reluctant to have any type of communication with any authoritative force, whatever. Believe it or not, even going to school poses a problem for them. So they are doubly handicapped in that respect. And secondly, those people that have been arriving here lately are people who cannot find any work in their native countries. Poverty is really bad because there is no means of supporting their families. And those same people also are not even well-educated in their own language. So it poses a double problem when the people at the Literacy Council are trying to help them because they have not a full understanding of the language skills that would be with theirs being able to transfer into English.
Charles, how do you respond to people who say that if they're here illegally, we shouldn't be teaching them English at all? We ought to be rounding them up and shipping them back and keeping them from reentering the country?
Well, I think that we have to look at the total picture, you know. These jobs wouldn't be available, and they wouldn't be up here if everybody didn't want them here because they were taking the jobs away from other people. And unfortunately, it's not true, you know. They only take jobs that do not fit, you know, the mode of the average, even lower class skilled people I'm talking about, so it poses a problem. And the fact that we're talking about that, you know, many of the people that come up here, they do pay taxes, believe it or not. They just never collect on them in Social Security. So it's not all you know, one way. And again,
And these people, many of them, I imagine, are quite reluctant to approach, predominantly Anglo authorities and get the skills that they need in order to learn English.
Yes, definitely, because they have no way of defending themselves. And secondly, like I say, very honestly, some of them here are illegal, you know. But and then there's always the little tinge of racism that enters into the picture sometimes, which makes it doubly hard for them to become, you know, active members of our community. So to that extent, I would say that it's not really quite fair to everybody, because anytime you have somebody, and I heard somebody say something about if one of them gets sick, they rush over to the emergency room. They have to have an interpreter. That's a costly thing. And secondly, as we well know, it would be better if they had a doctor. Now, they don't do that because they're not part of the community. Just they're isolated mm-hmm. so bad that it does cost us more money to take care of these people. And we're all, after all, we're all humane enough that we don't want to see anybody sick and suffering without being able to access some medical help.
And Charlie, also on the subject of medical care, if you can't read the English words on a pill bottle, Sarah was telling me that if you see the word, the letters O-N-C-E, it means something completely different in Spanish than it does in English.
Yes, it does.
I mean, that's the difference between once or 11 times.
Very simple, very simple. But it is very critical, you know. And, the difference, of course, is a lot of times the pronunciation of the word. For instance, I was court interpreting, and somebody said to me, when the judge asked him, where do you live? He said, I lived on Maple. And I could not for a minute realize where it was. It was Maple, you know. Mm-hmm. But the pronunciation of the words changed totally just by the pronunciation. So I agree that, yes, it is.
Charlie, we want to thank you so much for calling up. We do have to break here for news, and I know you've got a class to teach in Stevens Point.
Yeah, I'm teaching a class right now, so okay.
But I appreciate the phone call. Charlie Fernandez in Stevens Point on the subject of literacy, the battle for literacy being waged by the Portage County Literacy Council across central Wisconsin. Tom Parker, Sarah Halstead, our guests. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. Taking your calls at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. We'll be back after this news.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
I can't read, I don't know how to write. My whole life has been one big fight, born on the bad side. I've been down since I began to call. If it wasn't for bad luck, I've been down no luck at all.
Learning to read and write when your skills aren't up to what society expects. That's our subject today on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg in our Wausau studios with Sarah Halstead and Tom Parker of the Portage County Literacy Council. And I want to remind you that they do have their fifth annual Unscrabble fundraiser April 2nd at the Holiday Inn in Stevens Point. They are still looking for volunteers, and you can sign up on their website at pocolit.org. That's P-O-C-O-L-I-T. And let me give you those phone numbers again, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. Sarah and Tom, when we went into the news break, we were talking to Charlie Fernandez about some of the challenges facing the Hispanic population. I imagine you see that with people who are reluctant to come out and say, I have a basic problem. What can I do to address it?
Sure. I also wanted to tell Charlie, I think he's in a great position, and I know he's done some wonderful things, but many of us find us in a position where we may be blessed in some way. He can speak two different languages, and so he can communicate to those people who might be a little hesitant to come forward and tell them the benefits of being able to speak English as well in our society and encourage them to be a part of, you know, an educational program where they can learn some more, or maybe those people that could be a tutor for someone. So.
You know, I can't speak Spanish, and that's one of, it is one of the great regrets of my life that I never learned how to do it. And I keep saying, well, maybe in a month or two, I'll pick up, Rosetta or one of those, web-based things that you can do. And I've never gotten around to it. And I think, you know, especially as a journalist, it would be, such a benefit to me to be able to speak two different languages and relate to so many people that I can't talk to right now.
Sure. Go ahead, Tom.
I haven't run into Charlie in a while, but I think he'd be interested to know that we started a rural literacy program with Deja Melby, who teaches English out at the farm, and she also teaches English at Waisaki Potatoes. And it's really nice to take it to where people are. The United Way has given us support. It's the United Way of Portage County, and they feel that there should be more programs out in the county. And she's had some just wonderful experiences at one farm where initially the farmer and the workers couldn't talk to each other, and there was a terrible mastitis problem. And when Deja came just to have her first class, through her, the farmer asked the farm workers what was going on, and they said, well, one of the milking machines is faulty, it's not working properly, and they hadn't been able to tell the farmer, and immediately that bacteria problem went away. So it's a communication issue. You've got workers, they've got jobs, but they're not productive because they can't communicate back and forth, and the farmer can't tell them what he needs, and the workers can't tell them what the problems are, and so, you know, it's just not comfortable. That relationship has gotten extremely good, and they can read children's books. They can interact with each other. It's just fun to watch.
261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. Bernie in Wausau, you're on Route 51. And Bernie, you're with the Marathon County Literacy Council, my friend.
Yes, I am, and I have to thank you again, Glenn, for doing our spelling bee.
That's something I enjoy doing every year. We do a spelling bee up here, and it got kind of contentious this year.
I know, very much so.
We had an argument over one of the definitions of the words, and we were able to resolve it, maybe not to everyone's liking, but...
Well, I think that's part of the entertainment, though, wouldn't you have to agree, Glenn, that, you know, we put a little bit of... We probably do that purposely just to get people all riled up.
So we have literacy councils in Portage County and also in Marathon County. Bernie, why don't you tell us some of the things that the Marathon County Council is doing?
Well, we're very unique in a way because of our location in the library, and I guess that's sort of our main office. We really don't have the ESL programs like Portage County does and the other literacy councils do, but what we do is mainly train tutors to support the other agencies that are out there, specifically NTC, who has a lot of ESL programs in factories, and I know that they're very aggressive in their programs, ESL programs, with the Hispanic at Jefferson grade school, for example, and I know we have a lot of tutors that are very much interested in working with the Hispanic population, because for the same reason that you suggested, as far as being able to practice Spanish with somebody. So,
Bernie, how much of your attention goes to the Hispanic community, how much to the Hmong community, and how much to the Anglo population that might not be able to read and write at the level that they need to?
Well, I guess, you know, we're sort of at a disadvantage because sometimes the people feel very reluctant to come into the library. And we're putting together a new board, and we're going to try to reach out into the county a little bit more aggressively and go where these people are that have that particular need. And I think that it's going to be, because we're really a one-person office, and we're building up our board so we can deal with a lot of different issues in Marathon County. Our county is so spread out, as you know, from Abbotsford to Gleason and
What are the situations that you face in common with Portage County? And Sarah and Tom, maybe you can chime in here and talk about the fact that this is, the two counties are contiguous. I'm sure that you're facing a lot of the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think that they may be in a better place where people come to them more often than they come to us. And that might be a disadvantage for us because I think people don't necessarily recognize that we're in the library, and I guess that's our biggest push now is to market ourselves so people will come to us in the library.
Tom, you were about to talk about some of the issues.
Yeah,
I
think the issues in terms of literacy are about the same. The Hmong population in Wausau is significantly larger. The Hmong Association here is significantly more active and has a lot more resources than ours do. So the second thing is that the Neighbors Place and NTC offer very fine literacy programs that are supported by the local literacy organization, whereas in our county, Mid-State Technical College has a literacy program, and we do, and that's it. So we're the only game in town, and we cooperate quite well. So we don't have, I wouldn't say competition, but we provide a service that's not available to most of the rest of the community, and we interact with the technical college in a way that our services are provided when theirs aren't.
What are the special challenges that you face in trying to reach the Hmong population? The language is so different than English. It's a completely different root form. A lot of it wasn't even written down until about 15, 20 years ago.
Actually, I think it was the 1950s that they actually developed a written form of their language. But it is something that there's a lot of challenges. It's not just the language. It's also the culture and everything involved in it. I've had the privilege of working with a group of Hmong elders from our community for the last 2 years who want to become United States citizens. And they are trying to learn English and learn all of those interesting things on the citizenship test as well, which is pretty extensive. But I'm learning a lot from them, and they're learning a lot about the language, but all of us, we're all learning about culture.
After your experience, Sarah, how well can you read and write in the Hmong language?
I can understand a little bit, but actually I might even take a class that they're offering so that I can understand more. I have an advantage, though, because I know what letters are and what combinations of letters look like and sound like. And to some of these people, they're just designs, and they have to associate a sound with a particular letter, which we may have done at a very young age, but they're learning now for the first time in their life.
And Bernie, as Sarah was saying, Marathon County has such a huge Hmong population, that poses a special challenge for you.
Yes, it does. I think that the Neighbor's Place does a real good job as far as getting people in there of probably the older segment of the population come there, and we help support them in many ways with different projects and tutoring. You know, it's really interesting because when you're in the position of doing the tutor matches, you really don't get into the nitty-gritty of the actual classes that are going on within these programs. But because we pretty much send the tutors there, and you know, as far as what we know about the programs, it's maybe a little somewhat limited to where Portage County is really sort of a hands-on type of giving instruction to people.
Yeah. Well, if people want to contact the Marathon County Literacy Council, Bernie, how can they go about it?
Call 261-7292.
That's 261-7292. Bernie, thanks so much for the phone call. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Glenn.
This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the IDS Network. We will be back after this.
So take a letter, Maria. Address it to my wife. Say I won't be coming home.
gotta start a new life. We'll take a letter, Maria, address it to my wife. Send a copy to my lawyer. Gotta start a new life.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
We have Sarah Halstead and Tom Parker of the Portage County Literacy Council. We're talking about the effort to bring reading and writing skills up to where they need to be in central Wisconsin. And we want to hear from you, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. Back to the phones, we have Mai in Stevens Point. Hello, Mai.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well, too. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. I have a question regarding the topic of health literacy. Now, I've heard of literacy before, but I've not heard of health literacy. What is the difference between these two topics?
Very good. Sometimes people think of literacy as just being able to read and write and to be able to perform in a way that works for them. Health literacy, I think, involves so many more things. You have to be able to compute. You might be looking at dosages that you're giving out of medications. You have to be able to navigate through a system of healthcare that involves insurance forms and understanding what benefits are and knowing how to call and make an appointment or how to read a particular form that you're filling out for your doctor. There's so many different parts of it that all play into your ability to navigate through that healthcare system. And it's the kind of thing where people are often not at their best. You know, you're going to the doctor when you're not feeling well. I love the way Tom used to say, you walk into the doctor's office, you put on that silly robe that ties in the back, and half the things go straight out of your head right away. But you have to know how to be able to come in as an advocate for your own health care these days. That wasn't always the case. Several years ago, a lot of our older folks maybe not have been to the doctor for quite some time because their bodies have been working well for the last several years, and now that things are maybe not working so well, they're finding themselves in a new arena. They may be remembering the days of you know, house calls and people coming out and the doctor telling you something and you don't dispute it. Now you need to be an advocate for your own health care. You should know what your blood pressure is, what your cholesterol level is. You know, you just have to take more charge. And so coming into an appointment, knowing what you need to ask and understand about what the follow-up care is a whole new thing. So all of those things are part of health literacy, being able to navigate that.
And Tom, you were saying that most people in America read and write at an eighth grade level.
The average reading level is.
But the medical literature isn't at an eighth grade level.
It's typically at a 10th or 11th grade level. And the language that doctors use, I have a daughter who's a doctor, and sometimes we chat and I'm not quite sure what she's talking about. And they're comfortable with that language, but they might not know when it's okay to use that language and when it's not. And you have to be, as a patient, you have to be the one who holds them up and says, I don't understand what you just said, and make sure that you get that information. But if you're coming in, you're a Medicaid recipient, you don't feel confident already about your right to be there, you're not going to challenge the doctor very much. And consequently, you may leave the doctor's office with free care but not be able to understand what they told you to do. So the errors that you make, I mean, if you look at your prescription bottle, again, that becomes a common topic. The difference between the abbreviation for tablespoon, TBLS, and teaspoon is ambiguous. There's no intuitive reason why one should be big and one should be little.
And it's very significant, too. And we live in an era when, for better or for worse, we are all expected to take more control over our own health care decisions.
Well, if you're the mom and you're reading the prescription bottle and it says teaspoon and you're shoveling tablespoons of medicine into your five-year-old, it could be dangerous.
Did Sarah and Tom answer your question?
Yes, they did. I just have one follow-up question to that. What is the Literacy Council doing right now to address this issue and the concerns that are seen?
All right. Thanks so much for the call, Mai. Okay.
Thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. The Portage County Literacy Council has been a part of a new group that's been formed in Portage County called the Portage County Health Literacy Coalition. And we're working with other folks to try to educate more people in the community so that they can understand some of the terminology, some of the language, using a very simple approach that's easy to remember when you go into the doctor's office of ask me three questions to be able to ask the doctors, you know, what is it that I'm here for? Why do I need to take care of this? What will happen if I don't do this? Just to be able to remember those things and doing the education at various work sites, but particularly with populations that might be a little more vulnerable, which might include the elderly, might include people that are speaking English as a language that's not their native language, and just trying to help those individuals understand things a lot better. So there's probably a lot more to come, but that's the beginning.
And I want to mention that we've got a pretty nice grant from the St. Michael's Foundation to introduce literacy language and literacy health language and health navigation into our English as a second language classes, also to bring them to our tutors so that our tutors can work one-on-one and help our learners become more comfortable with the healthcare system. We're also, since the elderly population is particularly vulnerable in this business, we're going to try to run some classes at the Aging and Disability Center, the Lincoln Center in Stevens Point, and we'll bring that curriculum to any venue where there's a collection of people who think it's useful, and we can provide that service for nothing.
Back to the phones. Let's go to Sherry in Rosholt. Sherry, you're on Route 51. Hello, Sherry.
Hi. I have a question. I've been listening. I tuned in late, and I've been listening to the talk about the health literacy and how dangerous it can be if you don't understand those things. And it made me think about how dangerous the workplace can also be if you can't understand basic terms in the job you're in and things like that. And I was wondering if the Literacy Council had any programs that specifically work with employers to help integrate people into their workplaces.
Yes. The short answer is yes, Sherry. Thanks. We definitely want to be working with employers, and we spoke a little bit earlier in the hour about some of the things that we're doing with the potato exchange and with some farmers in the area. But we're looking to reach people where they are. We know that people are quite busy, and you're right. It's critical that people understand work terminology so that they're able to be better employees and work better within the organization. So we would really love to be able to explore that opportunity with other employers in the area too, particularly those that may have a high concentration of people that are struggling in those areas. So I would see that down the road we could see a real growth in that area for our Literacy Council.
And typically we've done the current work we're doing in with Waisaki is to help them just understand each other and communicate. It hasn't been specifically related to safety in the workplace. That could be arranged. It's just a matter of having the folks at the company come by and sit down and chat with us about what they need or what they think their employees need. We did manage to run a program with a volunteer, Julie Hayes, at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point for some of their employees in terms of our health literacy curriculum, and it went very well. So we can take it where the need is, and all we need to do is have people get a hold of us and say, you know, bring it over here.
Sherry, do you have a follow-up?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much for calling. And again, if you do want to reach the organization, it's PocoLit, PocoLit.org. And the phone number is... What is your phone number? I had it written down here, and I can't find it now.
715-345-5341.
All right, there you go. We have a census that's coming, within the next couple of years. Our area could be impacted in terms of the representation we have in Washington, D.C., if people aren't able to understand the questions that are being posed by the census takers.
Yeah.
Definitely. There are questions that come at us from all different places. It could be from the census. It could be from the healthcare. It could be from your employer. It could be from your teacher. It could be from the people that are in your own family. I mean, I've had individuals that have been in English classes that I've taught who have come here because they married an American. And one of their goals was to understand, you know, English humor. I mean, there can be things in just everyday life that if you don't understand, it poses a big problem. But the census definitely is one of those issues where you know, it's going to impact all of us.
And again, this is a problem that doesn't just affect folks who are looking at English as a second language, the Hispanic or the Hmong population. It affects people all across the board, and it's not a black and white issue in which either you're literate or you're not literate.
Right.
There's a lot of gray areas in between.
And people are very good. They're very skilled at sort of covering that up and letting you maybe not know that there's a problem, not know that they can navigate through this. They find coping mechanisms where they can, you know, take cues from other people or have, oh, I forgot my glasses today. Can you read this for me? Or there's all kinds of things people might do that really might just be a disguise for a problem with being able to read. So definitely, you know, we would encourage people to reach out for some help because we can provide that confidentially.
Sarah Halstead, Tom Parker, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having us, Glenn.
I wonder,
we do want to thank today's guests, Sarah Halstead and Tom Parker of the Portage County Literacy Council. We want to remind you that they are still looking for volunteers for the 5th annual Unscrabble fundraiser next Thursday, April 2nd at the Holiday Inn in Stevens Point. Call 345-5341 for more information or check out POCOLIT, pocolit.org. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. As always, thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music selections today by Albert King, Pat Boone, R.B. Greaves, and the Monotones. Next Thursday, Route 51 will not be heard, so we can bring you Ben Marins hosting the George Kennan Forum on most of these Ideas Network stations. Thanks again for riding with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.
Give it just one more chance. Ooh, I